let's be honest, it's out there, it's an option, but we have to rethink and resist that tendency of the faithful and devout to get po-faced about the secular world in its attempt to hijack the religious celebration and strip it of profundity and meaning, turning it into a three-ring circus of a spend fest, a way of doing Christmas that is unashamedly market-driven. The pressure, the pace, the plastic, all of them red hot. It can get ugly. People who have winter but no Christmas, the Michael Bublé version, schmaltz and fake snow by a fake crackling fire. It's out there. It's an option. And yet there seem to me to be increasingly new dimensions, even within the secular experience of Christmas, a turning out towards others that is refreshing and humbling, an increased awareness that this is a time for generosity towards the cold, the outcast and the forgotten, a focal point of secular charitable concern that is a challenge to the sometimes rather priggish high-mindedness of the church, naturally protective of its narrative, that we can sometimes fall into. Buy a goat and not a coat. Buy some chickens. Dig a well. Donate to Afghanistan. Help Ukraine. Support mental health charities. A sort of right-on, socially minded, woke Christmas, stripped bare of all the theology. There's something going on out there that is quietly impressive and genuinely humane, and we perhaps ought not to be too precious about it or dismissive of it. The charitable appeals cascade the Niagara of need through the letterbox, and people respond, not just church people. So perhaps the brash, garish world of Christmas markets and the marketing of Christmas is actually being illuminated by a softer light, the identification of need and the response to it from people who appreciate, in ways that might surprise us, that indeed there is more to Christmas than a cosy, comfy time just for ourselves and our family. Certainly the elements of that charitable dimension are written through the story. The Song of Mary, with its cutting edge of radicalism, its clear message of good news for the poor and oppressed, and its challenge to the oppressor and the indifferent. Hers is a true rebel song. It tells of a Christ who will assault the citadels of the proud with the power of his truth, and makes it clear, beyond peradventure, where the commitment of God lies, with the despised and with the outcast, with the broken and the defeated. Mary is right. And our readings and carols remind us, whether we want to be reminded or not, that it's hard to find yourself near him if you insist on your pride, your prerogatives and your power. You will not find him so readily among the great and the influential. Rather, you will find Mary's son out there in the cold, with the losers and the lost. When you hear it, when you sing it, the story is full of mixed messages of glory and gold and gifts, of humility and vulnerability. The story is crammed with great mysterious kings and their treasures, bleary-eyed humble shepherds with their questions and their gruff wonder, messages of welcome and affirmation, stories of danger, rejection and hate, messages of new life and inevitable death, gold of kingship, myrrh of the ice-cold tomb. Messages of humanity and divinity. The child, warm flesh, vulnerable and compact. God with us. The miracle of the incarnation. History and drama intermingled to make the greatest story ever told. Our readings and ancient carols remind us that they will all be there for us in the drama as we arrive next Sunday at Christmas morning. Angel voices bidding welcome, wicked kings ordering slaughter, a child's cry as it embraces life, the wail of mothers as they weep for their massacred innocence. We must never think this is a simple narrative, easily grasped and understood. And in the human response to the event, even now, all the crossed lines and complexity of 21st century worlds we live in, the increase in the suicide rate at the very time when the world is supposed to be at its most happy, the contrast between rich and poor, never more stark and painful, the sumptuous presents, the haunting debt, the urge to please and provide, and the deep anxiety about how to pay for it all. Families coming together when they can, and the shocking pain of separations. Ancient quarrels felt all the more sorely. Families happy and complete and together, families feeling the twist of painful loss and cruel fractures. The air is filled with the mixed feelings of Christmas, echoed in the songs we sing, and none more searching than the tension between those for whom this is an event of profoundest personal significance, profoundest personal religious significance, and those who want it stripped of any kind of religious import. A holiday, pure and simple, in no way a holy day, thank you very much. The air is filled with more than angel voices. It's filled with mystery and intrigue, choices and interpretations. Each Christmas season, the issue remains. How much do we let ourselves understand what the songs are saying about this event? How much do we let it reach us? How soon will the songs fade into the night? How long will its story stay with us? Will it find room in our heart?